There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the end of the game. Five of us against an entire world of them. It'll be enough.
I finally understand my purpose.
I'm gonna save the fucking world.
The plan starting.
What happens if this doesn't work?
You do this the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned way?
I kill everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Decoding Westworld, a recap podcast about the HBO original series Westworld. I'm David Chen.
I'm Joanna Robinson.
Welcome back to the show. Wow, Joanna, it has been a really long time since the last episode of Decoding Westworld. I think over a year and a half. Not to mention, for a while, we didn't even know if there would be another episode of Decoding Westworld.
Yeah, you know what's depressing, Dave, about the way that time flows? I was looking up when the season two finale was, and for some reason, I had thought it was 2019, but it was definitely 2018. Yeah. So a lot of time has passed since we last went to good old Sweetwater. So yes, here we are.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, we are here today because Westworld is premiering in a few weeks, season three, an 8-episode season. And we've gotten a lot of questions about whether or not we're going to do this podcast again. We would like to do the podcast again, and if you want to support that effort, all you got to do right now is head on over to podcastkickstarter.com. We've launched a Kickstarter to do season three of this show and recap every episode of season three of Westworld. And we already have a lot of supporters in this effort. At this point, it's trending in a really good way. It's looking extremely likely like we're going to be doing season three of Decoding Westworld. So if you want to support us and make it happen, maybe be one of our last donors to bring us over the top, go to podcastkickstarter.com. We would really appreciate that. We had a little bit of debate, Joanna, about whether we're going to try to do this season again. And I think it's like, hey, there's only 8 episodes. I think it's probably going to be the last season of Westworld. Do you think so? I think it's probably going to be, right?
I think so. Yeah. We don't have that
we don't
for
have
sure.
But we have no knowledge of that, but it seems like it's probably going to be the last season. And it's a show that I think, like, we've heard from many listeners and fans that they really, really enjoy. When I say the show, I'm talking about this podcast. And so we thought, hey, let's do it, you know, once more for the road, Joanna Robinson. Once more for the road. Let's do one more season of Decoding Westworld. So thanks to everyone who's written into decodingwestworld@gmail.com asking about the show. And of course, again, you can always support us at podcastkickstarter.com. All that said, what are we going to talk about on this episode? There was actually a season three official trailer that was released a day or two ago for Westworld. And we don't generally talk about next time on stuff or trailers, but we're going to break our rule today. We're going to talk about the trailer. We're going to speculate about what's going to happen in season three. And we're also going to catch people up about not necessarily everything that happened in season two, because that would be impossible in the time that we have today. But we're going to at least try to remember where we left off with some of the characters. So that's what is on store for today's episode of the podcast. John Robinson, let's just talk about overall reactions to this recent trailer. There was also like an earlier, I think, Comic-Con trailer that released earlier this year. I will just say from my perspective, these trailers really reinvigorated my interest in the show.
I mean, oh, yay!
Every trailer for the show has been excellent, in my opinion. I mean, I was so amped for season two. And then when that Comic-Con trailer dropped, I don't know, 6 to 9 months ago, it was a while ago, I was like, wow, they really seem to be rebooting this show in a big way, or at least not necessarily rebooting from a character perspective, but at least they're trying something very, very different than they've tried in season one and two, just in terms of the setting. And I assume some of the themes will be different as well. But your initial reaction to the recent trailer, and perhaps if you remember the Comic-Con trailer.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember the Comic-Con trailer. There was the recent trailer that they put out, you know, everywhere. And then, as is always the case with Westworld, there were like some secret trailers that didn't contain a bunch of extra footage. But if you like followed a URL and looked at the IP address and like, well, like did all this stuff, this is classic Westworld promo stuff. There were three extra trailers. My friend and yours, dear listener, Kim Renfro over at Business Insider, has like a scene by scene breakdown of every single trailer that they've released. And that's enormously helpful. So you might want to go over to Business Insider for like a scene by scene breakdown of all the Westworld season three trailers. But yeah, they have kind of rebooted it. And this is something we talked about a lot at the end of season two, that it seemed like they were heading that way for a couple of reasons. Number one, the location has largely changed in that it looks like most of the action of season three will take place outside the park. So, you know, that's a big change from the first two seasons of Westworld. A cast change in that we saw at the end of season two that they were sort of winnowing down the cast. A lot of the human characters died, and I'm kind of convinced there's been a large time jump. I'm not certain, but I'm convinced there's been a large time jump. So all of the returning cast members we see, with one exception in the trailer, are hosts, so they're immortal. So it could take place whenever in the future of the timeline of Westworld events. And, you know, we have these immortal figures played by Evan Rachel Wood and Tessa Thompson and Jeffrey Wright, etc. So casting-wise, location, setting-wise, timeline-wise, we're all in like a new location, and something that's really encouraging, I think, you know, to people like you, Dave, who didn't respond very well to season two, is that the creators, Lisa Joy and Jonah Nolan, have said that season three will be less confusing. That they like have heard your feedback and they're like, we got it. We went a little too up our own asses. No, like, you know, we went a little too far down something that made sense to us but didn't land with audiences. And Westworld has always been a beautiful show. It's always been a tremendously well-acted show. It's always been a kind of twisty show. But in season two, I think they like overstepped on the twists. And season three, they're promising to pull it back a little bit. So
yeah, I mean, some thoughts on season two. When I think back to season two, I first of all, I think it's very difficult to actually understand season two. I think that I was telling you this morning, I went on YouTube to look for like a season two recap video, right? Because like many times when a new season's coming up, like somebody will have put together a, you know, 10-minute video recapping season two. Was very difficult to find one. There are a couple that are decent. Many videos are like, what does the ending of season two mean? You know, because with the whole like post-credit scene with the Man in Black and everything like that. There were many videos explaining that, but there were fewer videos like offering to go through every plot point of season two, which was not the case for season one. There's tons of videos summarizing season one. And I think this is just a lot easier to recap season one. So there's just like less going on there. I am aware that there are, you know, season two episode by episode recaps. Of course, we are a season two episode by episode recap. But I was kind of looking for like, yeah, something catch me up real quick. Very difficult to find. So when I think back to season two, I think of how challenging it was to comprehend on an episode to episode basis. I also think about how I felt like as a result of that, the storytelling became really muddled. And felt like the creators were doing something off on their own that like it was hard to bring the audience along for, as you indicated. However, I also have some pleasant memories from season two. You know, like the, nice. The Ghost Nation episode, I thought is just like one of the most beautiful episodes ever made. They did a great job of recreating the details in like Shogun World, although I don't know that plotline really went anywhere. You know, like I remember the attention to detail and the aesthetics of it to be very breathtaking, but I don't know that it like really meaningfully contributed to the overall arc of season two, such as I could understand it. But yeah, there were many positive aspects of season two as well. It's just a shame that I think that, like, overall, it sounds like season two didn't leave that good of an impression on the audience. And I think, like, the overall issue that I had with Westworld season two is also that it just wasn't that much fun. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like season one was a little bit more fun, and you had, like, Anthony Hopkins doing his thing a little bit, and the mechanics of the park that you were discovering. And you put all that aside, and season two was just, like, twist upon twist. It was like, hey, two timelines wasn't enough for season one. We have to have, like, amp it up to, like, three timelines for season two, and then, like, multiple flashbacks and all those kind of things. So those are my thoughts on season two. As you're looking back on it, Joanna Robinson, any overall reflections on season two?
I only have good memories now with distance, like that episode, the Ghost Nation episode, Kiksuya, yeah, that you mentioned is just, like, so incredible. I think about it a lot. I think the themes that they're exploring are so interesting. And I just think nothing, like, hardly anything matches this show for beauty.
Yeah.
I will be rewatching all of season two over the next couple weeks, and we'll see how I feel about it once I do the full rewatch. But the memory of it is actually pretty positive. But I know going through it, there was just a lot of stress around trying to figure out how to explain it to people who are confused. Like, that's sort of the function of this podcast. It's called Decoding Westworld because we're trying to explain what's going on with the show to people. That was something that I really loved doing in season one and found a lot of stress around doing in season two,
right,
because I couldn't get a grasp of a lot of things.
Yeah, I do remember you being more positive on season two than I was. But
yeah.
I think what was, you know, when I watched the trailer for season three, I just found it electrifying, you know, because first of all, the trailer is genius. Not the most recent one, but the one with Aaron Paul, where you're like, look, because you're watching it, you don't even know what it's a trailer for. You know,
right.
It's like, that's how different it is in tone from the rest of the show. And then the big reveal that it's Westworld season three, it's just like, wow, like, hats off. Like, that's an amazing reveal, and it has single-handedly reignited my interest in the show. And then they dropped this most recent trailer that is, like, I remember the season two trailer was so good. Now the season three trailer, in my opinion, equally exciting. So I am ready to forgive and forget, Joanna Robinson. I am ready to get into season three with a blank slate, a wiped out host, and really just kind of absorb what they have to dish out from a storytelling perspective. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to talk about where we left off at season two, or do we want to get into the season three trailer first? Maybe
I kind of want to set the stage,
yeah,
like,
set the stage.
Where we left off, because I think people do not remember, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do this by character,
yes,
if that's helpful. But
yep,
first, I'm gonna say, like, one really important thing to remember: season two ends with someone who looks like the actress Tessa Thompson.
Yep.
AKA the character Charlotte Hale.
Yep.
But is actually the character of Dolores, usually played by Evan Rachel Wood.
Yep.
Leaving Westworld with five what is called pearls in a bag. This mm-hmm. is the big setup for season three.
Yep.
The pearls, you might remember, like, you can just think of them as, like, the chip for a robot, like a personality chip, the brain, the everything. This is, you can slip one out and slip it into a different body. This is what we figured out, right? So, like, Dolores is able to hide herself in a body that looked like Tessa Thompson's Charlotte Hale because she just popped her pearl out and put it into another body. That's
yeah.
something that can be done, okay? So Dolores is headed towards the mainland with five mystery robots in a bag, presumably
yeah.
characters we've met before. But the whole setup of the mystery of season three, or a setup of the mystery of season three, is who are the five pearls? We don't know.
Yeah.
So then she gets off island.
Yeah.
Dolores.
And we should also point out, right, that it was, I think, Bernard that constructed the Charlotte Hale body and did so without an explosive in its head, and that was how it could evade detection coming out of the park, if I recall correctly.
Right. Oh, good memory. Good
yeah.
memory. So she's able to get off island, sort of like the dinosaurs escaping the island in
right.
Jurassic Park. Right?
And as she's coming out of the island, she encounters Luke Hemsworth, who seems to indicate that he himself might be a host.
He's definitely a host.
Okay, he's definitely a host. He's like, hey, I'm a host. I'm going to let you out, even though I know you're a host, right?
Right.
So
the five mystery pearls.
Yes.
We are on the mainland.
Yep.
Dolores has put her own pearl back in her body, so it's Evan Rachel Wood. They've got a little body printer.
Yep.
In this old house that Arnold owned, right? So they can print new bodies, right? What can't they do with technology these days? So they can print a body to look however they want, as far as I know. So we've got Dolores back in her own body. So that's one person on the mainland. We've got someone in Charlotte Hale's body, but we don't know who, but she is Dolores's willing assistant, right?
Yep.
So that's two. And then they've constructed from Dolores's memory a Bernard that is really actually kind of Arnold. It's both, but the production Bernard.
We can call it Bernard.
We can just call him Bernard, whatever. But he's got the human Arnold in him. He's not just pure bot. Basically, he's got because like when Ford made Bernard, he made Arnold, but like a more docile version that he can control. Dolores restored him to like his Arnoldness, if that makes sense.
Yes. There's a question about like why she would take Bernard Arnold out of the park and restore him to Bernard, because they obviously had a lot of conflict in season two, to the extent that I think Bernard Arnold executed Dolores, right, when she was trying to wipe out the Forge. Do you think it's kind of like a Batman Joker relationship they have, like they need each other kind of thing? Like, curious if you had any thoughts on like why she restored Bernard Arnold at all.
I think a big theme of season three is going to be this idea of free will. And that I think one of my main issues with season two is that I found Dolores a difficult person to root for. I was maybe in the minority about that, but I found it hard when she was just on like a pure vengeance, pure sustained vengeance sort of path. But I think her path in season three is going to be reframed more as just like, Dolores is determined to give everyone, even maybe someone considered her adversary, their free will back, right? So she's given this character of Bernard his Arnoldness back, and giving him his Arnoldness gives him his free will back. He's no longer the docile pet of Ford. He's his own thing, right?
Yep.
And so I think that, and from what we've seen in the trailers, and we'll get into it, it seems like to a certain degree, she believes that humanity has been stripped of its free will. So it's not like kill all humans. It's restore free will to anyone, human or robot, who has had that free will stripped away from them.
Mm.
So, okay. So the point being, when we start this season, we've got on the mainland, Dolores with a Dolores thing in her head, someone who looks like Charlotte Hale, but has a mystery pearl in her head. A Bernard / Arnold who did not use one of the pearls. And then we've got four remaining pearls that are question mark.
Wait, why did Bernard Arnold not use one of the pearls? Isn't that one of the pearls that she extracted from?
No, because she made a new thing because she gave him his Arnoldness back from her memory. So Bernard was not one of the pearls. This has been confirmed. This is not a theory.
I trust you.
Yeah. So, and in the trailer, you see Dolores and the person that looks like Charlotte looking at four pearls. Right.
I see.
There are four pearls remaining that they are going to put somewhere.
Yeah.
And what they're going to do with that is a big question. And who they are is a big question. I don't know if the show will keep us guessing all season as to who they are. I think there's some maybe if season two hadn't been received the way it did, they would have. But I think they're not going to make us like who is the robot in what body? You know, like that's very confusing. So there are a few options. I'm just going to run through this pearl thing really quickly. There's a few options, and then there's some people who are off the table. Teddy, aka James Marsden, off the table. He has been uploaded to Robot Heaven.
Yeah.
Lisa Joy, the creator of the show, says when you go to Robot Heaven, you do not come back. That is the gift we are giving Teddy. He is free from helping Dolores in her murder spree. He's done. He's gone.
Yay.
So Ted.
James Marsden can finally have peace. And I think the show's name for Robot Heaven, by the way, to remind you, is The Valley Beyond, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, or The Sublime. Yeah. The Sublime or The Valley Beyond. Zach McLaren, who played the Ghost Nation figure who we were like very interested in last season, he is also in Robot Heaven, so he is not coming.
Yeah.
The Sublime, etc. Angela, who was played by Elon Musk's ex-wife, whose name I can't remember right now. She blew herself up. We believe that she is off the table as well. Like, she literally blew herself up. So her pearl is off the table, right?
Uh-huh.
However, I do have two people that I feel pretty positive about. One is Abernathy. That's yes. Dolores's father. And the other is Clementine.
Right.
Who, you know, was like quasi-lobotomized. I don't know what's happening, but like Clementine and Abernathy seem like two very and Clementine might even be in Charlotte Hale's body, would be a guess of mine, but you right. know, I don't know.
So Clementine, if I'm not mistaken, died at the end of last season, right? Like her body died. In the journey to the Valley Beyond, she died.
Yeah.
And then what do you call it? Abernathy. I think his pearl is particularly important because my understanding is, doesn't his pearl contain like a lot of the guest data as well? Like, wasn't that
It's the key to the forge, which
contains like all the guest data, which basically, theoretically, they can use the forge data to recreate actual humans living in the real world, right? Like, that's one of the things they might use that for. Is that
they
right?
Might. Yeah, they might.
That was, by the way, like kind of the plot of Future World, the sequel
right.
to
right.
the Westworld original film on which this series is based. So it seems very possible, given that the season 3 takes place in the future, that they might do something like that for the real world. But
yeah,
they might.
Really quickly, the actress who played Angela is Tallulah Riley, and I would like to extend my apologies to her for calling her Elon Musk's ex-wife, even though that's technically true, but that's not a good way to refer to someone. Okay, the last guess that I have for one of these mystery pearls, these four mystery pearls or five mystery pearls, because we don't know who is in Charlotte's body, is Carl Strand. Carl is one of the Delos, like, henchmen. He's played by Gustav Skarsgård in season 2. And he has a lot of Delos information. And if anything that Dolores – and we saw in season 2, we saw Dolores read Strand's book when she was in the Forge. I don't know if you remember, in the Forge, there was, like, a library and everyone had a book in the library.
Yeah, everyone has a book. Like, literally their kind of mind is represented as a physical book in the
right.
Forge.
Right. And so if Dolores read your book, she can, like, you know, she knows your mind.
Yep.
So she read Strand's book. So maybe Carl Strand is there. And if so, his pearl, like if she creates a pearl out of his, you know, human book, whatever, Westworld, remember how fun it is to talk about it? if she does that, then perhaps that could be helpful if she's going to be doing some like infiltrating of Delos, to have not only a Charlotte Hale, like, you know, lookalike, but also like Carl Strand's information. I don't know. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
So our three people on the mainland, Dolores, Bernard, and Charlotte. We'll just call her Charlotte, even though she's not. Okay? So that's who we have on the mainland.
Because the real Charlotte Hale was killed, right?
She's dead.
And
she
so
yeah.
we don't think that her mind is going to be – like she obviously was not super into what Dolores was doing. So it's impossible at this point that Charlotte Hale is in Charlotte Hale's body.
Unless Dolores pulled a Ford, right, and created like, you know, Bernard is to Arnold as this figure is to Charlotte,
right.
like a docile version of a Charlotte or
maybe,
something.
Yeah.
Maybe. So that's what's going on with those them pearls and who's on the mainland, right? Let's check in with William, shall we?
Yeah, William, a.k.a. the Man in Black, a.k.a. Jimmy Simpson, a.k.a. Ed Harris,
yeah. who's in white in the trailer. Oh, ho, ho. so this is like one of the most complicated things about season 2, and I had to reread my own article that I wrote about it at the end of season 2.
You're Googling for if only someone could explain season 2 to me. Oh, me.
It was me. But I did an interview with a producer, Fred Toya. So like he helped me understand exactly. But basically, as you said earlier, there's a third timeline in season 2. And it involves the Man in Black played by Ed Harris. And basically what happens is that we see William go through the park. William is a human. Okay. Just William, what we've seen for 2 seasons, is a human. I promise you he's a human.
Yes.
But in this this season two of Westworld, in this final trip he makes to the park, presumably his final trip to the park, he does something so irrevocably self-damaging in that he kills his daughter, Emily, right? Because he suspects her of being a host.
Yes. There's actual sound effects that you're playing right now to indicate how terrible it was. You know,
the sirens of William.
Of people coming for his daughter to try to save her, resuscitate her after William ruthlessly shot her, right?
So he killed Emily. And basically, what happened after that, according to this Westworld producer, is that William has then, at some point in the future, made a host version of himself and has put himself on a loop, revisiting the park over and over again, basically to try to figure out a way to do it so that he doesn't kill his daughter. Is there a way? Is there a version of me? Can I get to a version of me that doesn't do this horrible thing? And the thing that set us up for this in season two was the Jim Delos host, who we saw on a loop and constantly revisiting this final confrontation that he had with his son Logan, where his this poolside confrontation, this like inciting incident of trauma. And so William keeps returning to this incident where he kills his daughter, this robot version of William that has been built. And basically a lot of time has passed, so much time that the forge that we saw in season two, which had been flooded, had been drained and then was just filled with like dust, and just so much time had passed. And there was a host version of his daughter, Emily, there to be like, it's been a long time, my friend.
it looks like it's been like decades, if not centuries, right? Basically. Right. Yeah.
Which is what it makes me think that season three, unless they want to mess with us, which I don't think they do, but they might, is going to be a big time jump, right?
Yeah. Like could be like a century. Like that's how, right. That's how the scale we're talking about. Yeah,
exactly. So like the immortal hosts on the mainland and William might catch up to each other time-wise. There's one fly in that ointment in the trailer, which is the only human character, as far as I can tell, which is the character of Lee Sizemore. Who you guys might remember as like the storyteller, the narrative guy, who was sort of like this comedic relief wuss figure in season one and in season two. But then like he sacrificed himself seemingly very nobly. He seemed like he died, but his body at least is in the trailer. That might be a flashback. We don't know. But that's the only thing that makes me think this is a time jump. Otherwise, we're just dealing with robots. So we could be whenever, because robots don't age. So. So that is, does that explain where William is? William is looping himself through his own program to try to figure out if he himself actually did make the decision to kill his daughter, or if there was something about his own human programming that it was always going to help this way. Can he be redeemed, basically?
So I guess is the original William, the human flesh and blood William we see actually survive the events of Westworld season two.
Right.
At the end of Westworld season two, right? So,
right.
So is the idea that he has built a host version of himself, or that he has put his mind into a host version of himself? Like, where is the real flesh and blood William is my question.
Well, if there's a time jump, he's super dead, right?
Yeah.
I think he's uploaded himself. That was the whole thing they were trying to do with Delos, was upload a human consciousness to a host body.
So when you say he's putting himself through this loop, is there like a separate William out there that's like causing, you know, Man in Black version of William to go through this loop, do you think? Or
I think more likely, I mean, maybe, no. I think he set everything up, you know, like.
Yeah.
Digitally around him, and then just uploaded himself into the system.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That he did it to himself, but not that he's like, it's not like there's Ed Harris and Truman Show on the moon watching Jim Carrey and the Truman Show, who's actually Ed Harris, go through his little loop. Do you know what I mean?
I think I follow that. So essentially, right, what we're saying is that post-credit scene in Westworld season two, it takes place centuries from now. It's probably a host version of William that he himself has created and is set up to like go through this loop. It may collide with the other host characters that have reached the mainland, who also might be
decades older at this point, right?
It may be. And a really important line from season two that William says, the Man in Black says, as he's sort of like having his breakdown towards the end of the season, he says, "What is a person but a collection of choices? Were any of those choices truly ever mine to begin with?" So it's this question that Westworld has always been concerned with, which is like, how much free will do we humans actually have? That's reflected in these robots on their loops. How much are we on a predetermined loop?
Yeah.
And that's the question William's asking. Like, did I ever have a choice? Was there ever a version of reality where I did not kill my daughter? And how can I get there? So there we go.
Gotcha. To recap, like, human version of William survived season two, is dead, you know, hundreds of years in the future, presumably when the post-credit sequence of Westworld season two takes place, and probably dead for season three of Westworld. We don't know, though.
Or like his flesh is dead.
Yeah, his flesh and blood is dead.
Mind and is in this body. Okay.
Yep.
So the last major
I'm with you so far. I'm with you so far.
Oh, great. I'm so proud of you. The last major character we have to talk about is Maeve. And that is Tandy Newton's character. And she was dead at the end of season two. But what we saw, she was dead on the beach at the end of season two. But we saw her two favorite techs, Felix and Sylvester, picked her up and sort of gave each other a look like, we can fix this. so we don't know what happened, but she's in the trailer. And, you know, we'll get to the trailer more in depth in a little bit. But Vincent Cassell's character, who's a new character for season three, sort of his dialogue implies that he brought her back for a reason. So we'll get into all of that. But Maeve is back in season three. So though she died at the end of season two, she's back in season three. We're robots. We can return. It's fine. Hector also died, is back. So there we go. So Stubbs, Luke Hemsworth, Maeve and Hector all back. And Maeve and Hector, according to the trailer, seem to be in still in the park, because they're in a place called War World. Which is one of the park locations that we hadn't seen yet. We've seen the Raj, we've seen the Shogun World, we've seen Westworld, but War World is one of the remaining undisclosed parks that we hadn't seen yet. According to like the Westworld website, if you ever go to the Westworld website, they have like these sort of mystery tiles for the parks that they haven't revealed yet, and they sort of uncovered the War World one. So War World is a park, you know, within the larger park. So there we go. That's everyone. So you know, to reiterate, James Marsden, I do not think is coming back. Zach McLaren, I do not think is coming back. Angela Safarian, who plays Clementine, that's a real question mark for me. They could reprint her body. She could come back if Clementine is still in the mix.
The big question is like, who are the other pearls that she's taken, right? Like, is Clementine one of the pearls? Right. We don't know.
So. And then should we talk about new members of the cast in season three?
Yeah. Really well done, Joanna Robinson. And I do want to say that it's really fun to talk about this with you, speculate with you. But I will say it was kind of a bummer to see War World in the trailer, because the reveal of War World in the trailer was so good. It's like breathtaking the way it happens, like from a visual perspective. I wish I'd saved that for the actual show itself, you know. But it does look really amazing how they executed it. So anyway, all that said, let's talk about the trailer, right? The trailer for season three.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So the big, I would say, introduction of like at least the two trailers is that Aaron Paul is going to be what seems to be a major character in the new season, right?
Absolutely.
And his name is Caleb. Is that revealed in the trailer?
Yes.
I think it is, right? Yeah. So he's going to – and he appears to be like a working class futuristic construction worker. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So he is somehow going to be central to the events of season three. In the Comic-Con trailer, he's shown kind of like discovering a slightly incapacitated version of Rachel Evan Wood's character. But I don't know more than that. Like he seems to be like a key component. Do you have anything you want to say about Aaron Paul's character?
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction to that was that this was like some sort of honey trap that Dolores was like playing the damsel in distress in order to like get her on his side. I'm unsure of that, having seen the other trailers, if that's actually what we're seeing, but that seems to be what it's seeing. And a lot of what we see in the promotional material so far is Dolores kind of trying to open this guy's eyes up to the loop that he's been put on.
Yeah.
The lot that he's been dealt in life, and maybe that he should be less satisfied with it than he is.
Yeah. Yeah. So they seem to kind of be like partnering up in some way to execute some grand plan. Yeah.
Dolores always has to have a boyfriend. William is probably dead by now. His body, at least. William, R.I.P., right? Teddy, robot heaven, as we discussed. Mm. So listen, a girl has needs. So here comes Aaron Paul along for the ride.
All right. And you mentioned Vincent Cassell's character. He seems to have brought Maeve back to kill Evan Rachel Wood.
That seems to be the case. I feel like these trailers are always trying to trick that.
Yeah, for sure.
Constantly on the lookout. But yeah, it seems like it's okay. So here's something I know. There was another. It wasn't a trailer, but there was a video released that was a trailer for a new corporation called Insight. There's a couple extra trailers. There was a timeline trailer that was released with Vincent Cassell narrating. And that's a really interesting trailer because it tells us when we are in time and how the timeline of Westworld diverged from our own. It's a little tongue in cheek. It's like the impeachment of the 45th president in 2019 is the first divergent event. But there's all these like wars and revolutions and stuff that was happening. And you hear Vincent Cassell narrate like, you know, history was like, basically we were headed towards chaos. Everything was breaking down, blah, blah, blah. He was like, and that all changed was the introduction of the Solomon Project. The Solomon Project and the corporation is named Insight, INCITE. And Vincent Cassell seems to be one of its heads. And that Project Solomon got history back on track. And that trailer, which was the date announcement of Westworld season three, if you want to look for it, ends with him saying, like, finally, history has an author. So to me, the way that I interpret that is that Insight, which has something to do. There was also a Mashable has this great write up of there was an event at the tech conference CES, similar to sort of like the Westworld ghost town that they built at South by Southwest a couple of years ago. This was like a big promo event for Westworld that they held at CES, where a company called Insight gave a presentation to invited members of the press about this program Insight, which helpfully tells you humans what choices to make to best live your life. And so a way in which I don't have all the details in this, you can look it up. Mashable has a great write-up of it, but like, a way in which I could see this, relating to trailer footage we've already seen is like Aaron Paul's character, Caleb, is a construction worker. Maybe he's a construction worker because Insight told him he should be a construction worker. And that is a way in which he was put on a loop. You should be a construction worker. You should date this person. You should live in this city. You should do this. Like that there's a program here. And I believe it's related to data collection, which is something we're all worried about all the time. But that there is a corporation or a program or a project that is telling humans how they should live their life for an optimal, peaceable society. And has it resulted in a kind of peace? Perhaps. But has it robbed them of their free will? Perhaps. And is that what Dolores is here to correct? Perhaps. So that seems to me to be the big thing, is like this corporation called Insight, Vincent Cassell being ahead of that corporation, and Dolores not being happy with what she sees as a result of that. So.
Gotcha. So really fascinating. And it certainly continues the themes of seasons one and two, but feels like it's taking it in like a whole new direction, right? That you have like outside humans and it's like corporate control of these people's lives, you know. So that's really interesting, I think, if it's true, which I think you're probably right about that, you know.
And one thing that I thought was really interesting, and I, you know, full disclosure, I cannot remember the person's name, but I did read this on Reddit. So shout out to Reddit, the Reddit boards, which are really helpful to me, reminding me of scenes that I have forgotten about. So in season one of Westworld, Felix and Sylvester are like in their, you know, lab. And you might remember that Felix has been like playing around with being a programmer. Mm-hmm. And Sylvester says to him, listen, bud, you're a butcher. That's all you'll ever be. And it's sort of this idea. We talked about this time, this idea that like there were things you were allowed to be as a human, like that Felix could not be a programmer because this, you know, app or whatever, this project, Insight Solomon had told him he has to be like a butcher, like a, you know, they sew the bodies up, they fix the bodies. They're not allowed to mess with the program because that's not something that's accessible to them as a certain like class of people, a certain cast of people, question mark. But if that's the case, that's something that the show has been sort of like laying the seeds for since season one. This idea, you might want to go back and rewatch that scene, listeners, between Felix and Sylvester, because it's kind of interesting. It definitely implies that there is some sort of caste system in the outside world. We had a lot of questions in season one about like, what does this outside world look like now? You know, and why would people want to come to Westworld? Maybe you go to Westworld because you're on your assigned path in the real world, but in Westworld you get to pick who you are. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like maybe that's a thing. Anyway, so
that is a deep cut, but it all adds up to me.
That's what Reddit is here for, man. The deepest of cuts. So yes, yeah, so you've got Aaron Paul, Vincent Cassell, a few other new cast members, Lena Waithe and Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch, yes.
Oh, hey, I do. Yeah, that's very exciting. Yeah. I do want to say one other point about the Vincent Cassell character, which is basically in the history of pop culture, whenever somebody has sent like an assassin after another assassin, it just generally like, or let me put it this way. Whenever somebody has sent robots after other robots, it generally doesn't work out very well. Specifically, I'm thinking of Blade Runner. You know, that's a pretty good example of how that can go poorly. But
we can assume that that Maeve and Dolores will probably team up. Yeah, that's what I would
Vincent
guess.
Cassell is not going to succeed, I think. if the history of narrative fiction has taught us anything, it's that Vincent Cassell is going to.
You're saying the well-manicured, accented white male head of the shadowy corporation is not going to win? Interesting. Right, so you've got Lena Waithe, Marshawn Lynch, sort of who seem like they're friends with Aaron Paul's character, or at least involved in some sort of. I mean, what looks to me like, you know, espionage, corporate espionage is afoot here. That's what it looks like to me. A couple other people who haven't been like really announced, but I've seen in the trailers, John Gallagher Jr., who you might know from The Newsroom or Spring Awakening or a number of other things that he's done. And Tommy Flanagan, who I best know as Chibs from Sons of Anarchy. He's also in Gladiator. Great, great, great character actor who looks to be some sort of like head of security, maybe for the Insight Corporation, possibly. So those are some fun faces in the trailer that they haven't like officially announced what they're doing yet. So that's where we are, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Nicely done, Jonah Robinson. and yeah, I'm pretty excited. Like visually, you know, one of the things that we had talked about was making Westworld was a really expensive proposition because you're shooting in the middle of the desert a lot of the times, and it's difficult to get like crew and equipment out there and all that stuff. And so we're like, maybe with season three, they're gonna like cut back on the budget a little bit because it's gonna take place in like a futuristic, you know, outside the park, and that'll be easier to do. Theoretically, than shooting in the park, but from what I've seen, it is visually very ambitious, right? Like it looks like they are pulling out all the stops for this season, from what I can tell.
Well, we should say that they have fewer episodes this season. It's eight episodes instead of 10. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, there are some stunning locations like the Ciudad de las Artes y las Ciencias in Spain is that like incredible structure that we see Charlotte Hale or Tessa Thompson's character sort of standing next to. But that's like a real world structure somewhere. You know, basically that was a trip to Spain. They filmed in Spain for that. I think it's still less expensive than filming in Monument Valley. Is what I would guess. So it still looks incredible, but it does afford them more opportunity to like shoot on like bridges and rooms.
You can augment the existing world versus needing to shoot out in the middle of nowhere. So so are you excited about season three, John Robinson? Because I'm actually I'm cautiously optimistic.
I'm very optimistic. It really feels like they heard because we like Westworld when it's really good. It's such a good show, and it really feels like they heard the confusion of fans who like want to like the show and were frustrated to be confused in season two, and they're like, okay, we're gonna make it more coherent in season three. I agree with you. I think this is the final season, though they have not officially announced that yet. And so like, we love a show that knows its ending and like is figuring it all out. You know what I mean? Like
Right. You can leave it all on the field, basically. You don't need to hold anything back.
Yeah, and something that we should mention that happens in the trailer is that Ed Harris, as William, dressed in white, says, like, I'm going to save humanity. I know what I need to do. I'm going to save humanity. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, like, it's possible that he's going to be a good guy this season. And it also feels like it's set up so that I can root for Dolores this season, which is something that I want to do. So she's out there trying to free us humans from an evil shadowy corporation that is telling us what our careers should be or what we should have for dinner or whatever it is. That's a cause I can truly get behind and be excited for. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
So do you think William is against her? Like she's trying to stop the robots, do you think?
I think he's going to team. I think Maeve, William, and Dolores against Vincent Cassell. Good luck, Vincent Cassell.
Wow. Yeah. Huh.
I mean,
because when I'm watching the trailer, I'm thinking like, okay, there's a robot uprising and Ed Harris is going to try to stop the robot uprising.
But I don't think it is an robot uprising. I think Dolores's mission isn't kill all humans. In the end, she's like, wow. She's like, stop this corporation. Mm. Destroy Insight, but I don't think she wants to hurt Aaron Paul. I think she wants to free Aaron Paul. Mm. And if that's the case, then William would be on her side. But maybe William thinks she is out there to destroy you.
Yeah. Maybe it's just a big misunderstanding, you know?
I hope those two crazy kids can work it out. You know, I've been rooting for them ever since she dropped that milk can. So, we'll see what happens.
Indeed. Anyway. Indeed. All right. Well, I am pretty psyched about diving into season three. So I am looking forward to chatting about it with you. And if you, our listener, are interested in hearing us chatting about Westworld season three, check out podcastkickstarter.com. And I think that's it, right? I think we're done. All right. So we'll see you when season three premieres.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.